Now, if you've got a Bible, put your hand on it and let's stand together. Open it with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians, near the end of the New Testament. And stand, we stand to honor, to give reverence to God's word while we hear it together. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, and Paul quotes Genesis, for this reason a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we confess that we don't live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word who is Jesus. Amen. You can take a seat. Y'all, let me tell you up front, this is not a TED Talk. That's one of the temptations when you prepare to speak, to do a Sunday message on marriage. The temptation is really for it to be a TED Talk, to fill it up with tips and hot takes and a few funny stories, to give you the five love languages or some catchphrases like happy wife, happy life, or things like that. And I'll do my best to avoid, for your sake, I'll do your best to avoid words like spark and sizzle. Although if you're married, you may not want to avoid those words at home, just to say. Kingdom Heart, Kingdom Home, that's our August teaching series. Kingdom Heart, Kingdom Home. And we want to look at the scripture to see what Jesus has to say about marriage. And we're not just leaving. Today is marriage. Marriage, singleness, parenting, the church as the family of God. So if you don't feel like today's message, the marriage, if you don't feel like this is the one for you today, then hold on and come back on another Sunday. There'll be something for you. And I also have to say this just out of my own self-defense. We plotted out this teaching series and planned to teach on marriage and family in August. We planned this like in the fall, and that was long before I knew that this weekend my daughter would be engaged, and that her son-in-law, or that my future son-in-law, and all of his family would also be in church today. My mom's here, too. And so I told Casey this morning, Casey, this is a message for the whole church. I've been working on this for months. This is not some passive-aggressive father-in-law way of telling you things, like, in front of a bunch of people. So just to clear that air. So this is not a TED Talk. The other temptation, though, let me be honest. The other temptation is to avoid talking about marriage from the pulpit for a number of reasons. One reason I think is a sort of legitimate reason. One is a pastoral concern for brokenness and for failure. Because let's be honest, I think all of us have some hurts, some scars related to marriage, maybe to our parents' marriage or other marriages we've seen up close, maybe to our own, maybe marriages that didn't survive or ended in pain or abuse or divorce. And so I've been tempted to avoid talking about marriage lest I stir up more than I can settle down. Lest I stir up more than I can settle down. But the more I sit with that, that objection fails. Because if, as a pastor, I'm faithfully sharing God's truth from Scripture the best I can, then I'm really not the one stirring up anything. And even if I was stirring up something, I'm ultimately not responsible for settling it all down. So my avoidance in teaching on marriage, my avoidance really is disrespect for the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to take away the Holy Spirit's job. If the Holy Spirit's job is conviction, then I want to give him room to convict. And if the Holy Spirit's job is to bring comfort, I want to give Holy Spirit room to do that because the Holy Spirit knows the difference. And I hope you know the difference. I hope you're able to hear the difference between conviction of things that need to grow and change and comfort, God's comfort when you're in a place of hurt. So I want to resign from being the Holy Spirit, and I just want to be your pastor. And I want to say this too. The church has sometimes gotten it wrong when we've talked about divorce. When we've talked about divorce, and we've treated divorce as a state or divorce as a condition that sort of lingers and lasts forever in a person's life. And when we think about divorce as a state or a condition, then we build shame into that. And shame tends to make people hide from themselves or hide from one another or hide from God. And so I want to be clear that divorce is an act or a decision. It's not a state or a condition. I think from the Scriptures, divorce is an act or a decision where there is always possibility for growth. There's always possibility for repentance and forgiveness. And even if there's not the possibility of the restoration of a marriage or a relationship, there is great possibility for personal growth and personal restoration in Christ. So I think sometimes I've avoided talking about marriage for those reasons. A second objection to talking about marriage from the pulpit is because, unfortunately, marriage and family have become hot-button political topics. Because there's widespread disagreement today in our culture about what marriage means and who, what kinds of people can be married. And in the face of that widespread disagreement, it's sometimes an easy out to say, well, I won't preach on that. I'll only preach on things that are important. But y'all, I'm growing in conviction that marriage is more important than I've let it on to be. Marriage is important because marriage is rooted not only in Christ. The Christian vision of marriage is not only for Christians. It's not only for the church, because the biblical vision of marriage is rooted in creation. And if the biblical vision for marriage is rooted in creation, then it applies equally to all people. It's offered equally to all people as a gift from God. And so from creation, from Genesis, we know that there are men and there are women. And did we ever think that that would be a confusing thing for any of us to say? And if we look at Genesis, there are, and this is not, y'all, I'm not trying to, this is not an ideological message. This is pastoral truth from Scripture. That God knew what He was doing when He said marriage, when He said humanity is made for one man and one woman to be united in marriage. And you can no more change that to men or to women than you can change the number from two to three or four. And the more I read the news, the more I'm afraid that's the next frontier that our culture is going to try to bring to us. So here's the point, y'all. If I fail to teach the church what the Bible says marriage is about, then one, I'm refusing, as a pastor and as a teacher, I'm refusing to love my neighbor. Someone will sell you that you have to swallow that or hide that in order to love your neighbor. But I tell you, if I don't tell you the truth, I'm not loving my neighbor. If I don't tell you the truth, I'm leaving you as the sheep in the church of God. I'm leaving the sheep to be instructed by the wolves as to what is or is not true. And y'all, this is the one that gets me and has convicted me deeply. If I'm not willing to tell you the truth, then I'm counting on our middle schoolers and high schoolers and college students to have more courage than I have. And I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I don't want them to be in a place where they have to cling to the truth of Scripture and to Christ and the gospel. You deserve more than that from your church, and you deserve more than that from your pastor. So friends, that's why we'll talk about marriage. The last reason I'm tempted to avoid speaking about marriage is I have a deep awareness of my own weakness and my own shortcomings. Y'all, that's the challenge in preaching of about anything, but especially when it comes to family relationship. Because, see, in the matter of marriage, in the matter of experience, I've only been married 32 years. So you may ask me, you know, you still are repeating the class. I haven't passed yet. I'm going back for more and more and more. And there is still, I confess, there is still so much to learn. But actually, y'all, that's a good reason to talk. That's a good reason to share, because when I come to you to talk about marriage, like I do any Sunday, I come alongside you. Not to tell you, not to drop something from on high, but to tell you this is what life is like, and this is what God offers, and this is what the gospel promises, and this is the direction in which we want to head together. That's why we want to talk about marriage in the kingdom. I really thought that was all the intro, but I think I'm preaching already. So here's the first thing I want to tell you, though, if you're like a note taker and you want to write this down. Marriage, the first thing I want you to see from the scripture today, marriage, as much as marriage is something that you do, married people, as much as marriage is something you do, marriage is something God does. Marriage is something that God does. And when I recognize that marriage is something that God does, there is a ridiculous amount of grace involved in that. There is a ridiculous amount of grace in that. I'm working, you're working, your spouse is working, and you're worrying together, and you're striving to love one another the best you can and to please one another while you please God. But what you sometimes miss, what I sometimes miss, is that God is working in the same direction I'm going. Y'all, we live right here on the water. You can go out any day of the week and see a sailboat. Isn't that a beauty of living in Savannah? You just walk a block or two, and there's a sailboat. And you know, you put the sails up, and the wind takes you in the right direction, the direction you want it to go. Friends, when you've decided to marry, when you've decided to be married, if you are striving and working in marriage, the Holy Spirit of God is blowing. He is putting wind in your sails. He is cheering for you, and He is striving. He has more invested in your marriage than you do. Marriage is something God does. When Jesus was questioned about marriage, y'all, so much of this year we've walked through Mark's gospel. We haven't even gotten to the 10th chapter, but if one day we ever get there, in Mark 10, when Jesus is questioned about marriage, here's how Jesus began to describe it. Jesus said, "Therefore, what God has joined together." Maybe you've forgotten everything about your high school English, your high school grammar classes. But you know, at least in the English language, the way we construct a sentence, the most important person in the sentence is the subject. And notice who the subject is of that sentence. Those who God has joined together. He is the primary actor. And so when you choose, when you pledge, when you vow, when you work, God is doing something alongside you. You are working in harmony with the universe, in harmony with God, the way He ordered the world. God is doing something. He is creating and continuing to create something when a man and a woman marry and build a life together. And that is so relieving to me. In the spring of 1993, Patty and I had barely been married a year, and God was really working. It was at that point, after we had dated, after we were engaged, after we were married, that I finally started sorting out this idea that the Lord may be calling me to be a pastor. And so, in a way, I mean, I wasn't deceiving her. I wasn't cheating her. God surprised us both. Okay, let's just say that. God surprised us both. I told her, I got permission. I told her we were going to talk about this. I won't tell her whole version of the story, but I'll just say this in summary. Patty at first was not as enthusiastic as I was about this idea. Now, here is a marriage tip. I told you I wouldn't give you tips, but here's a marriage tip. Because it's true. In most marriages, in almost every marriage, there is one person who is the accelerator and one person who is the brake, right? You have to have that in your car. You have to have, you're laughing and you're ribbing the person that you're married to that's next to you. Because you know, right? You know who that is. There's an accelerator and there's a brake. There's the person that's always wanting to go fast and one who wants to be slow and cautious and take all the steps. And it won't surprise you, but usually in our marriage, Patty is the accelerator and I am the brake. Usually Patty's the accelerator and I am the brake. But in that season, I told you God was working. And sometimes when God is working, he shifts our natural instincts. He shifts our natural lives kind of on the side for his supernatural work. I was the one accelerating. Like I was the one on the phone with Asbury Seminary. I was the one trying to get scholarship interviews and meet the professors. And I was the one that scheduled a drive, a trip. And we thought we were going to have to cancel it. It was in March and it was an ice storm. And Patty was on the couch like, almost, I'm out. Don't have to do this. But no, it cleared just enough. And we're driving up through North Carolina and to Kentucky and visited Asbury Seminary, Wilmore, Kentucky. It's a two-stoplight town, y'all. There's a Asbury University, a Christian college on one side of the street, Asbury Seminary on the other side. Asbury's been in the news because of the outpouring, the revival from last February a year ago. That was way before all that. We didn't know anything. We made that trip, and Patty was uncertain. And honestly, she was praying. She was considering. She wasn't like just shut down. She was praying. And that's true still today. If there's something that she knows she doesn't know, she's praying. She's praying. And we drove into Wilmore. We hadn't even gotten to the one little stoplight. And there was a little strip shopping center. And there's a big sign for a florist shop. And the florist shop was called Kingdom Creations. As we're driving into town, Patty tells this story. She's thinking that I'm the one with a call to ministry. And the Lord spoke to her when she saw the sign. And she said, you are my, not him, you are my kingdom creation. And it was a moment of freshness, of goodness, where she recognized that God was doing something in you. Because see, that's the reminder that marriage is a creation gift. And that God continues to create within marriage. He creates, he continues to create the life of Christ and grow the life of Christ in you. That's something God does. Marriage is something that God does. A family, physically, biologically, can give birth to a child, but only God, we know this from Scripture, only God, by the Spirit, can give birth to His children. He does the work of creation, and in offering us grace in Christ for salvation, He offers us the chance at new creation. Marriage is something that God gives. It's something He grows. And so we stand in line to work on our marriage, yes, but we also stand in line to receive. To receive marriage as a gift. Marriage is something God does. And I'm already hinting at this, but if you're the note taker, number two, for married people, when God has something for one of you, He has it for both of you. When God has something for one of you, He has it for both of you. For us, I just told that little story about our call, and it wasn't just my call. My call has taken me some certain places and to do some certain things, but she's always been right there. My call involves hers. Her call, for many years as an educator, as a homeschool mom for a long time, then as a classroom teacher. Y'all, if you're married to a teacher, you know there's something unique about that. She has loved and given to help me grow in my calling, but I've learned to love and give to help her flourish in hers as well. I've designed bulletin boards. I've graded papers. You ever graded papers, Ed Johns? Yeah, you do it. And now at this season of our lives, when we're actually working together with you guys, I mean, this is like incredible. Someday, you know, she takes a day off so that she doesn't quit, you know, because she kind of gets crossed up with her boss by Wednesdays or something. You know, I don't know how that works. But y'all, I'm not telling you that everybody's life just kind of merges into one. And that's not exactly what it means when the Scripture says the two will become one. Because you'll continue to have different personalities. You'll have different spiritual gifts and gift sets. You'll have different interests and different hobbies. And you will not spend every waking moment together. That's retirement. But for the most part, And that's why you get more hobbies, right, guys, when you retire. I know. I've watched. But y'all, when God has something for one of you, He has it for both of you. That's why in our wedding vows, that's why we say things like for better or for worse. Because it's not like you're going to get to a point and it's like, well, this is better for me, but worse for you. That's a problem. If it's better, it's better for everybody. If it's worse, it's worse for everybody. If it's richer, it's richer for everybody. If it's poorer, it's poorer for everybody. If it's sickness, it's sickness for everybody. If it's health, it's health for everybody. One of my most beautiful pastoral memories, y'all, of being all for one in marriage. I was the pastor in Butler, Georgia, and I went to a hospital visit up in Thomaston, and I walked into the hospital room in Thomaston. The patient was a sweet, sweet senior couple in my church. Wanza and Winifred Hortman were their names, and Mr. Wanza, still, he was nursing home bound, but he still had this round, rugged face and this just incredible, like, glowing bald head. I mean, like that's what I remember. That's essential to the story. And Winifred, his wife of probably like 70 years or something at that point, is sitting there, and I come in to visit them, and the nurse comes in. The nurse, and this is the moment, the nurse comes in and says, "Hey, I'm here to check his temperature." And Winifred stands up, and all she just stands up, and she leans, and she presses her lips against that big bald forehead, against her husband's head, and she just kind of puts her face down close. And she says, "Yeah, it's about 102. She wasn't a nurse. She wasn't a medical professional. But y'all, she knew over 50, 60, however many years, she knew for better, for worse. She knew in sickness and in health, and she had walked with him for so long through this that she just knew. She just knew what he was feeling and how to communicate that on his behalf. When God has something for one of you, He has it for both of you. And this is beautiful because marriage is a reflection of the heart of God. God Himself, as Christians, we know, we talk about the Trinity, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Trinity, like, yeah, just question mark. Like, how do you describe that? Where 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Right? Father, Son, Spirit, but it's one God, right? Always in perfect communication, in perfect submission one to the other within the Trinity. But isn't that a picture of marriage where 1 + 1 = 1? Not 50% plus 50% equals a whole, 100%. 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 + 1 = 1, and there's wholeness. That's why when we talk about marriage, we often use the word covenant, not contract. Contract is 50-50. You do your part, I'll do my part, and it'll all come together. Covenant means everybody's going to do everybody's part. And if you don't do your part one day, I'll do my part and your part, and we'll make it work. Because covenant is what God offers us in Jesus. God says, "I know you can never completely do your part. And so I'll send my Son Jesus to be with you, to teach you truth and wisdom, and then to go and give His life for you and to die on the cross. For better or for worse," right? God knows at the beginning it's going to be worse, and so He'll take the better, and He'll offer Jesus to us. In a covenant, if one party fails, the other party fulfills. And that's why marriage is a covenant, and that's why ultimately, this is the third thing, y'all, and then we'll go to the Lord's table. Ultimately, marriage is not about you. That's actually why it's easy to talk about marriage and to share about marriage with you. Because marriage, we say marriage is about relationships and men and women and husbands and wives. But really marriage, and Paul got this, marriage is not about you. Marriage is about God. Did you get that? At the end of the passage we read, Ephesians 5:32, he's talking about, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery." And you think, yeah, I've been married 32 years. It's still a profound mystery. But wait, that's not the mystery he's talking about. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. Marriage is ultimately not about you. Marriage is about God and about the kingdom of God. in creation, God, you'll have to go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. God has set every individual as God's ambassador. God's sign, His imprint is on you to rule and to reign in His place. And marriage is a particular way of loving, of sacrificing, of giving, of reflecting the heart of God for the heart of the world. Marriage is a place for creating, a place where one person is always caring for and focused on the life of the other. It is the best place. That's why marriage is the best place for introducing children in the world. And in a couple of Sundays, we'll talk a little bit about parenting. But y'all, parenting, when we know marriage is about God and marriage is about a place for self-sacrificial love, we know that kids are not like baby turtles. Y'all, you see, you drive back to the beach and you see already they've got the spots. Baby turtles, you know this, the baby turtles at the beach, they emerge in the darkness and they are doing the best they can to claw their way to the water. Y'all, there's a reason human babies aren't born that way. You're given to a set of parents. That's what God needs from a human. It's very different from what He needs from a turtle. So He provides for humans in a human family, in a place of love and protection. It's so different. Paul says it. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. It would be confusing to read that. Love your wife as your own body. Love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Love because we're members together in Christ. I tell my Thursday morning Bible study group all the time, the simplest way, if you're torn up in your own Bible study, the simplest way to understand what Scripture says, ask three questions. What does this passage say about God? What does it say about me? And what does it say about my relationship with God? You think marriage is about you, and marriage ultimately is a picture of the kingdom of God. Marriage is ultimately about Jesus, because He is the one who gives Himself, and He is enrolling us as husbands and wives, as Christians in general, to be ambassadors of Christ, giving ourselves for the world. And so there's an easy invitation to the Lord's Supper this morning. And I hope it's easy, because we're going to have to do it fast. So the Lord's Supper. Here's your invitation to the Lord's Supper. Do you know that Christ has given Himself for you? If so, come and receive from Him at this table. Do you need strength to continue to give yourself, especially married people? Do you need God's strength and a fresh empowering of His Spirit so that you can give yourself to your spouse? Come and receive that grace from the Lord, because marriage is something God does. He's working with you. Do you want to come and receive here, all of you, married or not married? Come now and receive this grace from God that He is giving of Himself so that you can be His ambassador, an ambassador of love everywhere you go. Because the communion table is about Jesus and His kingdom, and marriage is about Jesus and His kingdom. Let's pray together.